Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. We got a little heavy with John Bush and Joey Vera from Armored Saint talking about their legacy and celebrating the brand new Armored Saint album. This interview aired on Friday, May 22nd. Here we go. Well, tonight we are celebrating the brand new album from Armored Saint, their ninth studio album, Emotion Factory Reset, and we are not celebrating alone. Hanging with us are the two founding members of Armored Saint, frontman John Bush and bassist Joey Vera. Guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
What's happening, Chuck?
Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to have you guys on the show. And I mean, we got a lot to talk about, but you know, you guys formed this band in 82 with the Sandoval brothers. Here we are 44 years later, celebrating new music from Armored Saint. How does it feel to be at this point still talking about new music from the band?
Go ahead, Joey.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I think we all agree on that it's something that was and we never would have imagined in a million years we'd be talking about this band and new music 44 years later. There's no way. So it's pretty astonishing, you know, that we're doing this and that we're able to do this. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, part of it is part of our persistence or whatnot, but it also is the support of our fans. You know, they really have gone with us through this whole journey, and they want to hear new music from us, and they appreciate the new music. And that's pretty rare for a band of our age. So we're super stoked to have a fan base like that. And also our record label has been really supportive for all these years. Metal Blade Records has been 100% behind us since day one, pretty much. And, you know, we're super lucky to have a label that lets us, you know, work in the fashion that we do, which is, you know, we make music kind of when we get around to it. But, you know, we're super stoked, and we feel really grateful that we're talking about Armored Saint new music 44 years in.
I love it. Yeah. And you know, you talk about you guys could have never imagined this when you started the band. I mean, what were you imagining in 82 when you guys started playing?
Let's try to sell out that next club show. Or actually just make sure there's some people there. I think one thing about us is that we always wanted to have longevity. That was something that was important to us even back then. The ironic thing is I remember thinking, like, let's be like the bands like the Stones and the Who have been around forever. And what's weird is they're still around, which is insane. So, well, portion of the both bands. But yeah, I think that was something that was important to us even then, is to try to make sure that we had a long career. So our career has been one where it hasn't always been the most fruitful, financially successful career, but I think there's a lot of quality in the music that we've made and the performances. And hey, you know, you can't really determine what your fate is going to be on a success level, monetarily and stuff, but you can control the important things like the quality of what you do. And we learned that early on. We really did. We had, after a couple of years, we got a real dose of the music business and was like, wow, man, this is brutal here. And so, and we were like 24 and going, man, we're like, oh man, at this point, and we've been through so much. So, you learn a lot and you learn fast, but, through the years, I think we were able to maintain a lot of integrity.
Well, I love you saying that, John, because I think that's a significant part of Armored Saint's story is that, you know, the two of you and Phil and Gonzo and Jeff still making this music. And, you know, I know Jeff isn't an OG member necessarily, but he's been with the band since the late 80s at a pretty significant point in the band's career too. I mean, that kind of longevity, like you talk about the Who and the Stones, and yeah, I mean, the longevity of the music and the name and some core members, absolutely. But like the fact that it's still, you know, you five guys together, like that's huge.
Yeah, it's kind of unheard of these days, really.
Yeah.
And we're super stoked that we have that as well, you know, and that's something that, you know, we don't really take lightly. And it takes a lot of work, as you can imagine, being in a relationship with someone for such a long time. It's not always peachy keen all the time, but it takes effort. It takes all parties like standing back and looking at this with like objective eyes. It's not an easy thing to do by any stretch of the imagination, but somehow we've been able to do it. You know, we get asked all the time, how do you do this? And I don't really have a magic bullet answer for that. It takes a lot of work is all I can say, but I think that's important for us too. You know, echoing what John said is that, you know, this is an important thing for us that this, the core guys, for the most part, it's how we started and we're still here. You know, it's not like, you know, John Bush and four random dudes, you know? So, I mean, again, nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's a time and place for situations like that. You just have to roll the punches, but we've been pretty lucky that we were able to make this work somehow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And here we are, man, celebrating a new album, Emotion Factory Reset. It's all wrapped up. It's ready for the world to hear. How are you guys feeling?
We're feeling great. It's a cool record. Yeah, it just kind of expands on what we've been doing, especially on the last couple albums. We've kind of got a groove going with kind of started with When Hands Down when we really kind of got back together and said, okay, let's go and carry that on with Punch in the Sky. And now this one, although it's its own thing, it has its own vibe. I think it's really important for us to not only you know, make this quality music that we talk about, but also kind of just keep expanding on the sound of the band, make sure that we keep growing and try things and challenge ourselves and challenge our fan base and kind of make sure that the important thing is that we're really kind of staying true to our own sound. And for the longest time, I would say, you know, we didn't always fit in. We still don't, actually, which is not always easy because, you know, you're not kind of getting to ride the wave of something that was like a trend or a scene. You know, we were part of the LA scene in the 80s, but we really weren't part of that sound, even though some of those bands are great bands and we played with them, you know, but we just, including Wasp, who we just did two tours with, but we still kind of didn't really completely fit in. And it was frustrating for a while, but once we kind of said, you know, let's just do our thing and try to stay focused on our own unique sound, I think it's been the right thing for us. And we've really kind of just continued that on. And this record sounds like that. And it's crazy because it sounds like Armored Saint. It sounds like a, you know, a band that might have its roots in the 80s, but yet it sounds like a modern album and it sounds fresh and new. So once again, not to toot our own horns, but it's something that's not an easy accomplishment and we did it. So
yeah, that's it, man. No, toot your own horns. you've earned that, man. You've earned that. You know,
that's
Joey,
kind of, come on.
That's exactly it. That's what we're talking. You know, Joey, I mean, kind of going on with what John said, you know, you've said that each Armored Saint album feels like a new skin for the band, and every album is, you know, kind of a snapshot for the band, for where the band was at that time. So, you know, what does Emotion Factory Reset represent for where the band is right now?
Well, I think it's, you know, maybe echoing again what John just said a little more is that we always want to keep moving forward and, you know, challenging ourselves as songwriters and challenging the fan base, you know, to come with us on these challenges. You know, I think it's really important for us to always renew ourselves in some little way. I mean, we're not like reinventing the wheel here, but, you know, for us, you know, we take chances and we try different things within the songwriting project, you know? And so that's really our goal is to keep moving forward. And I think that this record here represents us doing that yet again in a different way than we did on Punching the Sky and a different way that we did on When Hands Down. So, you know, for me, like maybe specifically for me personally, I was trying to challenge myself to try to write songs that were a little more concise in the arrangements. I'm a big fan of grandiose intros. You know, I guess I have this prog rock leaning sometimes, and I like really long songs and, you know, epic, yeah, you know, like just ginormous feeling songs. So I was challenging myself going into this to try to achieve that within a smaller, more concise framework. And so, I feel pretty good. Like, I feel like we actually did that together. And, you know, that's maybe part of the new skin on this one. And that's just a small example, really, of that. But there's many examples also.
Well, I think that's, you know, it's interesting hearing you talk about that. And John, you know, you talking about how Armored Saint never really fit in. And instead of trying to force a sound to try to fit in, you almost embrace that, you know, we're our own thing and we're just going to stay true to that. At the same time, never making an album again, right? Like you guys have talked about never wanting to recreate March of the Saint or, you know, those albums like that can never be recreated anyway. So, you know, Joe, you kind of just ended at it too, but curious for both of you, like, how do you kind of keep that forward momentum going this long into it and not falling into the trap of like, well, we could just do this, you know, this big grandiose thing like I want to, or we could maybe we could recreate this. Like, how does that momentum keep pushing you forward?
I think it's listening to lots of music, looking back and kind of looking back at some of the things we did that were successful and some of the things that our influences did that were successful. Again, doing something that's different and saying, okay, like Joey said, he did a great job a lot of the times on the arrangements of this record, that he made these songs sound like they had a lot of parts, and they do, but yet it was within a 5-minute song, which is not easy to do. So like a couple songs have like two bridges, you know, along with the verse and chorus and solo, there's sometimes a double lead, but yet it's in a shorter amount of time. So we accomplished that. Always adding different kind of sounds, different instruments. Joey's did a lot of amazing singing on this album, a lot of big background vocals when it was appropriate. You know, again, expanding on the style. It's really the style is the key thing. You know, I have a certain way of singing. I mean, I'm like this white guy and a heavy, you know, heavy metal dude who, you know, wants to be in a 70s R&B band, you know, and that's really kind of my thing. And yeah. Just kind of keep expanding. Yeah, I just kind of keep trying to expand on that. And it's, you know, it's the way I sing. So, and we always have this groove kind of thing. That's a really important part of the Armored Saint sound. Joey and Gonzo have this connection as a bass player and drummer that, you know, it's kind of different from most metal people. They should be in a funk band sometimes. And you bring that kind of groove along with these really cool riffs. You know, it's a soulful kind of bluesy sound, but yet it's metal. So it's a little different from sometimes metal can be, well, I got to be careful here because the last thing I want to do is make it sound like I'm insulting anyone. And I'm not, but, you know, there's a certain style and we kind of buck the style. And hey, you know, sometimes it's worked against us. But in the end, sometimes we just kind of figure this is what we are. You know, we don't have to always stay within those parameters. We can try anything. Like when it comes to arranging things and me and Joey working on stuff at the kind of the infantile stage, we're always open-minded. And I think we're honest enough with each other to go, you know, maybe that's outside the box too much. But it's actually pretty rare that we feel that way. And we go, you know, it actually always kind of seems to work. So I think that's the important thing, is always be open-minded, not to try to go back to something that you did in the past and redo something, because, you know, it just doesn't work. I mean, Metallica can't make Master of Puppets. It's just not going to happen. You know, it's a great record on its own, and it's, you know, 40 years later for them. And, you know, do something that you might look back and give a little nod to, but you want to keep growing and you just can't do it. So why would you want to? Why would you want to go look back and go, how can we redo that? Nah, I don't want to. We don't want to. So,
well, the other thing to it, well, is that a lot of times John and I also challenge each other to, you know, to push the envelope a little more within reason, of course. And that helps us, you know, stay fresh and stay like, you know, like we're moving in the right direction rather than settling on any laurels that we might have feel like we have, you know, or some expectation we need to make for the old school fans. I say that, quote unquote, you know, we make sure and sort of challenge ourselves during the writing process too. Like, hey, you know, maybe we should do this. Maybe we should try this, you know, the slightly uncomfortable area for us, but let's see what happens. And out of those things, out of those challenges comes something that's unique and honest and genuine and you know, it helps us feel like it's fresh. So that's just another example too.
Well, and you think about the longevity of the band, and you know, again, there's no secret, you know, formula to it, but the idea of being open-minded, of pushing each other, and being willing to receive that pushing, like, that's got to be a huge part of what keeps you excited and keeps you together and keeps you pushing forward.
Yeah. I mean, there was a point when we were writing for the record La Raza in 2009, I think that it dawned on us at that moment, like, we've been on our own island this whole time. You know, like John said earlier, we never really fit in all the boxes, you know. Even when we first started out, there was something about us that was slightly different than everything else, and probably to our detriment, but we were never really able to swallow that pill until so much later in our career. But it was right around 2009 when we started saying, you know what, this is just who we are, you know, let's just embrace it and let the chips fall where they may. And you know, this is us. This is the music we write. So it's a pretty liberating feeling, getting to that place.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Well, I'm curious, when you guys finished Emotion Factory Reset, when you felt like it was done, when it was complete, do you guys still, you know, get the same feelings you did in the early days, or do you kind of get used to the process, used to that finishing line, to the anticipation, all of that?
Well, I think we're very excited. We're always excited. It's a weird thing. And when you make a record, or I guess maybe any kind of art or a film or something, you have to kind of let go of it. And that's the hardest part usually for me, and probably the same for Joey, because you're so close to this thing. And you believe in it. You're like, wow, this is killer, you know? And so you have to let go, and then you give it to the public, and especially now more than ever with the internet, and you know, everyone's a journalist, not just you, Chuck. Everyone's a journalist. They know, I have all the knowledge, and so and they'll write it to you right on that YouTube page when you put out your video, and all it takes is one person to say, this is garbage. I mean, I always say, for me, as long as somebody's witty and trashing what we do, then I can find it amusing. And they're just like, oh, this sucks. It's like, dude, come up with something better than that. But in the end, you know, you just have to let go. And so that's all you can, that's the hard part sometimes, because you're close to it. You let go, you let the little baby grow. And but we always believe in it. And I think we felt that way about every record we've made, going all the way back, and we feel that way now. So, and it's not going to change, you know, the level of success. Do we want to sell a lot of records? Of course. Do we want to, you know, sell a lot of t-shirts and tickets? Of course. You know, we're not doing this because we want to, you know, do poorly. But at the end of the day, you know, how that happens and what transpires is slightly irrelevant to the quality of what you did. And that'll never change. And that's how we feel about, you know, all the stuff we like and the artists that we dig and music and movies and TV. And not everything is successful as far as monetarily, but yeah, it doesn't mean it's not great. And believe me, there's a lot of stuff that is really successful that's garbage, you know, so at least in my opinion. So it's just, you know, I think we follow that, and we know in the end that it's something we believe in, and we did a great job, and then you put it out there, and hopefully it can walk and run and kick some butt.
I love it. Yeah. Just because a song or an album hits number one doesn't make it a hit. You know, doesn't make it something that'll last forever.
This is true. Yeah. You want to go back to the longevity thing. You know, you want to, I mean, I always joke that, you know, I'll probably be really admired once I'm dead. And I'll be in that in a dark, well, it sounds slightly dark, but I don't mean that in like a woe is me kind of thing, but it's true. Like sometimes people don't quite get things until it's over. And then they're like, wow, that was really good. Yeah. And that could be the scenario with Armored Saint, but who knows?
So you guys are covering a lot of ground in Europe this summer. I got to imagine plans for a U.S. tour in support of the record are taking shape.
They are. We're just getting ready to announce something for the fall. Probably can't do it just yet. Our booking agent will slap my wrist if I do, if it was a couple of weeks later, maybe. But yeah, it's just about wrapped up, and it's going to announce probably by end of this month, first week of June. Awesome. And then, yeah, so we have something going on for the fall, and we're working on some stuff for the end of the year and even next year, trying to get some things for South America. The tour I'm speaking of course, was North America, sorry, in the fall. Yeah, there's still more ground to cover. We really are just getting started. So hopefully there's more to report sooner than later.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, new album, plenty of live shows, and sounds like a lot more coming. What else? What else is on the horizon? How far ahead do you guys allow yourselves to look as a band? Like how much do you do that? Looking ahead, like all these, you know, multiple steps down the road.
Making a record is kind of a long haul. Obviously, it's usually sometimes between a year and a half. I was just complaining to Joey on a text earlier how sometimes I think things happen too quickly, but I guess that's just the nature of the business these days. So, you know, because sometimes I feel like, you know, we're just working this one song, now we're already going to the next one. But again, that's just the way the business is kind of jiving these days. So we'll roll with it. But yeah, there's a lot to do. And, you know, we want to do some good touring and play live, and can't wait to play some of these songs live. It'll be really exciting. And yeah, there's just a lot of work, and who knows what the future kind of holds, really. You know, we did a lot of great touring on the last record, and ironically enough, some of it was due to COVID, most of it, but we didn't actually start touring properly until like 2 or 3 years after Punching This Guy came out. And then we did the two tours with Wasp, we did a run with Queensryche, we did some dates in Europe. But there's still a lot of territories to go to. And we haven't been to Australia in years. We've only been once. We've only really done Mexico, which is funny, because 3.5 of this band is Mexican, and we played once, and now we're finally playing in a couple weeks, so that'll be our second time. South America, we've only done once. Japan, once. So there's a lot of territories that really we need to go to again, and we love going to Europe, and you know, there's stuff that there are areas to cover there that we really haven't done, like Scandinavia. And so there's a lot of places still that Armored Saint needs to go to. And you know, furthermore, of course, we're here in the U.S. and in North America, Canada. You know, we usually cover ourselves pretty well here, but there's a lot of places to go.
Awesome. Yep. Staying busy, man. Joey Vera, John Bush, guys, thank you so much for being here tonight, celebrating all things Armored Saint, but especially this new album, Emotion Factory Reset. Listeners, get everything you need. Grab the album. Keep an eye on tour dates, armoredsaint.com. We'll keep you posted at Loudwire, too. But, guys, hopefully we can do this again soon. The door's always wide open anytime you want to talk.
Thank you so much. All the support. Yeah, Loudwire has been there for Armored Saint, man. Really appreciate it, Chuck. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated. Thanks for having us.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.